जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखाकरोति वाचालं पंगोरं गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वर जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताकस्वामि नित्यनामे नमाचार्यपदायनि ताकृपदायिनि गौरकथादामदाय नगरग्रामतारिणी नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामि नित्यनामे नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 36 एंड 37 ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टेक्स्ट 36 विष्णोर्वसाद्वा असौ किं नु करिष्यति असमाञ्जसः सौहृदं दुस्त्यज्यं पित्रोराहाद्या पञ्चहायनः ट्रान्सलेशन् Although Prahlad is only 5 years old, even at this young age, he has given up his affectionate relationship with his father and mother. Therefore, he is certainly untrustworthy. Indeed, it is not at all believable that he will behave well toward Vishnu. Text 37, it's on the board.
Paropyapatya hita krityathaushadam Swadehajopya amayavatsutohita Chindya tadangam yad utatmanohitam Shesham sukham jivati yad vivarjanat Paropyapatyam hitakrityathaushadam Swadehajopya amayavatsutohita Chindyatadangam yadutatmanohitam Shesham sukham jivati yadvivarjanat Paropyapatyam hitakrityathaushadam Swadehajopya amayavatsutohita Chindyatadangam yadutatmanohitam शेषं सुखं जीवति अद्विवर्जनात्। आरोप्यपत्यं हिताकृद्यथौषधम्। स्वदेहजोऽप्यामायवत्सुतो हिता चिन्त्यात्तदङ्गं यदुतात्मनो हितम्। शेषं सुखं जीवति यद्विवर्जनात्। आरोप्यपत्यं हितकृद्यथौषधम्। स्वदेहजोऽप्यामायवत्सुतो हिता चिन्त्यात्तदङ्गं यदुतात्मनो हितम्। शेषं सुखं जीवति यद्विवर्जनात्।
वैष्णवीस्,
आरोप्यपत्यं हितकृद्यथौषधम्। स्वदेहजोऽप्यामायवत्सुतो हिता चिन्त्यात्तदङ्गं यदुतात्मनो हितम्। शेषं सुखं जीवति यद्विवर्जना। परप्यपत्यं हितकृद्यथौषधम्। स्वदेहजोऽप्य अमायवत्सुतो हिता चिन्त्यात्तदङ्गं यदुतात्मनो हितम्। शेषं सुखं जीवति।
The verse is so difficult that to recite it is also very unpleasant. So similarly, what Hiranyakashipu is saying is also quite not fitting to speak about Prahlad. Translation word by word, if you like to repeat. Paraha, not belonging to the same group or family. Api, although. Apatyam, a child. Hitakrit, who's beneficial. Yatha, just as. Aushadam, remedial herb. Swadehaja, born of one's own body. Api, although. Amayavat, like a disease. Sutaha, a son. Ahitaha, who's not a well-wisher. Chindyat, one should cut off. Tat, that. Angam, part of the body. Yat, which. Uta, indeed. Atmanaha, for the body. Ahitam, not beneficial. Shesham, the balance. Sukham, happily. Jivati, lives. Yat, of which. Vivarjanat, by cutting off. Translation: although a medicinal herb, being born in the forest, does not belong to the same category as a man, if beneficial, it is kept very carefully. Similarly, if someone outside one's family is favorable, he should be given protection like a son. On the other hand, if a limb of one's body is poisoned by disease, it must be amputated so that the rest of the body may live happily. Similarly, even one's own son, if unfavorable, must be rejected, although born of one's own body. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed all devotees of the Lord to be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than trees. Otherwise, there will always be disturbances to the execution of devotional service. Here is a vivid example of how a devotee is disturbed by a non-devotee, even though the non-devotee is an affectionate father. The material world is such that a non-devotee father becomes an enemy of a devotee son. Having determined to kill even his son, Hiranyakashipu gave the example of amputating a part of the one's body that has become septic and therefore injurious to the rest of the body. The same example, of course, may also be applied to non-devotees. Chanakya Pandit advises, Tyajya Durjana Samsargam Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam. Devotees actually serious about advancing in spiritual life should give up the company of non-devotees and always keep company with devotees. To be too attached to material existence is ignorance, because material existence is temporary and miserable. Therefore, devotees who are determined to perform tapasya, penances and austerities to realize the self, and who are determined to become advanced in spiritual consciousness, must give up the company of atheistic non-devotees. Prahlad Maharaj maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father, Hiranyakashipu. Yet, he was tolerant and humble. Hiranyakashipu, however, being a non-devotee, was so polluted that he was even prepared to kill his own son. He justified this by putting forward the logic of amputation. If you like to repeat the translation. Although a medicinal herb, being born in the forest, does not belong to the same category as a man, if beneficial, it is kept very carefully. Similarly, if someone outside one's family is favorable, he should be given protection like a son. On the other hand, if the limb of one's body is poisoned by disease, it must be amputated so that the rest of the body may live happily. Similarly, even one's own son, if unfavorable, must be rejected, although born of one's own body. I request to all the assembled Vaishnavas to please give me blessings so that I can share a few points on this very rich verse and purport. Thank you. So there are many important points in this purport, but today I would like to focus on two main themes. So one is the theme of this attachment to one's own body and things related to that body. So Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport, to be too attached to material existence is ignorance, because material existence is temporary and miserable. So that's like one theme that we will take a look at first. And the second interesting theme that I find it very interesting is this conflict between father and son. Basically, the second theme is going to be about relational conflict that we all face and what we can learn from this particular episode between the son and the father, and how both Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj are being faced with conflict. Both of them are facing difference of opinion. So these are the two themes we will take a look at today. So in this particular verse, Hiranyakashipu is basically frustrated. And that frustration is coming from deep attachment and expectation. So because he has this attachment to his own son, because it's part of him, he's having very high expectations that his son will behave in this particular way, and the whole world is shaking with fear of Hiranyakashipu. The devatas and Indra and Chandra, everybody is fearful of Hiranyakashipu. But this little five-year-old boy, his own son, doesn't seem to be shaken by his forcing him to think in a different way. And we all face this kind of situation in our relationships. And this story, we can also see how this attachment to the body is two sides. Because one side is we may become very attached and act in certain ways which are very partial. And another side of attachment is when the attachment does not fulfill our desires, we become frustrated, just like Hiranyakashipu. He's frustrated that his attachment is not working out, his son is not listening to him. We can see that previously when Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, was arrested when she was pregnant by Indra, he basically kidnapped her and he was taking her away, then Narada Muni intervened. And he said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And Indra's very obvious point was, because he's the son of an asura, so he's going to be a bigger asura, which was also Hiranyakashipu's expectation. So that was what was expected. But Narada Muni explained, no, you are completely mistaken. It's not necessary that because he's a great asura, his son will also be. In fact, he's a great devotee. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. So don't do this. So this principle of attachment and expectation was clarified by Narada Muni, saying that no, you cannot think in that way. And I was thinking how in our movement, within our movement, we sometimes, actually in the history of the world, we can see in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we can see how this attachment and expectation has been a big problem. For instance, we can see that all the let's take Vallabha Sampradaya or the Nityananda Vamsha. What actually happened was the attachment to family lineage. My son should become the next Acharya. So this kind of attachment to, as Prabhupada says, material existence, basically, because coming from my body, so it should be the next Acharya. So this created apasampradayas. This created the whole jati gosai issues, and later, as recently, we can also see how when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started initiating people who were not born in the Brahmana family into Brahminical initiation, there was also a huge chaos, because people who were attached to this seminal lineage, bodily progeny, they wanted that to grow. And then they even tried to kill Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because he was causing disruption to that attachment to that material existence. And we can see that it didn't work. So similarly, it's happening with Hiranyakashipu. Although he's a great demon and his own son, only 5 years old, it's still happening. So the point is, it will happen to us also. Sometimes we may have partiality towards our own children. I don't have children, so I don't have personal experience, but we can learn from history. I can see from my friends and family members that becoming too attached that, oh, my son is going to be this. Oh, the chart of my son says that he has Raja Yoga. And then, you know, you see the son becoming a beggar. But the point is, the expectation is there. And sometimes it can also influence on a leadership level. Sometimes we may want that, no, my family should be more involved in the taking up responsibilities, and maybe we make partiality based on attachment to the family instead of what Srila Prabhupada is trying to what Srila Prabhupada tried to teach us, that it's by qualification and not by birth. Like Prabhupada gives this famous analogy of the high court judge So because your father is a high court judge, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're also a high court judge. You need to do the work that it takes. So similarly, we can learn that before we become too proud of our own family because it's our own family, like here, Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed all devotees to be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than trees. So if somebody may say, I'm very humble and I'm very tolerant like the grass, but my son is the next acharya. So we could sometimes have that mentality of my children, so they're four, or my family and they're four. So we have to be careful to, especially when we are in the position of leadership. I mean, we are all on the position of leadership on some level or another. And so we should be careful to discriminate bodily attachment and qualification. So we should base our judgment on qualification and not on the body. Okay, that was the first theme that was touched upon about attachment. So the second theme is about what we can learn from this relational conflict between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. So here Hiranyakashipu is giving the example of amputation when the body is diseased. So it has its logic, but his logic is perverted. He's trying to use it in the wrong way. There are a few differences between a demon's reaction to a relational conflict or a response to difference of opinion, and we can learn from Prahlad Maharaj what's the motivation, what is the mood of a devotee when there is a relational conflict. So I was thinking how, for me at least personally, I was trying to learn how there is Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad mentality within me, and so how I should actually think more like Prahlad, because Prahlad wanted the victory for the Lord's plan, whereas Hiranyakashipu wanted victory for himself, for his own personal victory. It was all about his ego. So that there are, I would like to mention three main differences. So the demon's mentality, what Hiranyakashipu is doing here is, things are not working my way. I'm not winning this argument, it seems. Happens to us, right? How do we react? So the Hiranyakashipu mentality would be, Bettadinda katti urulisi, asuratanna pattadane kalali mettisi. So he has this complete mentality of punishing, rejecting the child, and giving all these arguments with insults and revengeful and ultimately destruction, to destroy the other person who doesn't agree with me. And maybe in our case we are not as powerful as Hiranyakashipu, but we have our own little power, and we usually destroy, we cannot destroy the other person, but we end up destroying ourselves. Because when we have negative thoughts, it destroys us. So did Hiranyakashipu. So that mentality that I want to destroy the other person should lose and I should win. This is the demon's mentality. And what's Prahlad Maharaj's reaction or response to his father being angry, irritated, mentality to punish him, destroy him? Acceptance. Okay, this is my father, this is how he is. At the same time, he stood ground, he was very firm about what he believed in. Not acceptance in the sense, okay, whatever you say, you are the supreme. Prahlad Maharaj didn't do that. So he had like the perfect balance between acceptance, at the same time firm conviction about what he believed in, firm faith on the Supreme Lord. So he had that level of tolerance on the outside, but internally he was firm on his decision. So this is something we can, it's not easy. It's because of the gunas, we are often attacked more by passion or ignorance. So internally at least we can try to pray to Prahlad Maharaj and request him to please give us that tolerance, to give us that patience. And then another thing about destruction was Hiranyakashipu wanted to cut off the sun. He wanted to cut him off, just like he gives the example of cutting off a part of the body which is giving us trouble. And whereas on the other side, Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't cut off neither from the father nor from his mission. So sometimes in a conflicting situation, we need that internal balance to not take to extremes. So that was one aspect. So the demon mentality is to destroy the relationship or the other person or rejection. And the devotee mentality is acceptance, but awareness and respect towards the other person. The second principle of demoniac mentality that Hiranyakashipu is demonstrating is he jumped to conclusions. He started insulting Prahlad, he started to call him names, he started to really misbehave with the son. Name calling, and the motive is basically hatred. He wants to, or it has already happened, that he made his son into an enemy. So this is the demonic mentality. If the other person doesn't agree to me, if the other person is not thinking my way or doing things that I want, then he's my enemy. Usually this happens when like authority and the devotee figure, or when somebody is above us and we are below, then it works a little bit slightly differently. When we are below, then all these things happen on a mental level, subtle level. But when we have the upper position, these things are easier to manifest externally, whether the anger or punishment. So this is the second point. And then Prahlad Maharaj, the devotee attitude was, he had basically opposite to jumping conclusions. He was connected with the super soul. He was grounded. He was becoming aware of the situation instead of calling the father names or arguing or judging. So this is what we can learn from Prahlad Maharaj, is take our time. Take our time before we get into fight, or somebody insulted us, so I will also insult them. Sometimes we justify, well, my father was like this, so I'm also like this. Well, my mother was like this, so I'm also like this. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, he said that he learned from his father how not to be. So sometimes from bad examples in our family or our own children or spouse or parents, is instead of justifying our conditional tendencies, we can learn what not to do. And in this way, because Prahlad Maharaj didn't react, but he was taking his time, he did not commit any offenses. Like, for example, we can see in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, Suruchi, she insulted Dhruva in a similar way. It's a similar mood, mentality, revengeful, regret, anger. So she insulted him. You're a second-class prince. So when she insulted him, he was not yet a pure devotee. But then later on, he became, and therefore she incurred huge offenses. So this is the risk of jumping to conclusions and calling names to people. Oh, you are fanatic, or you are this, or you are that. Instead, if we can, like, you know, they have their own difficulties. And personally also, I have some experience. Many years ago, I thought Krishna consciousness should be like this. Devotees should do things in this way. And then when I saw devotees who were not doing, I noticed that I was committing offenses. And I had to really realize that I was not progressing in my Krishna consciousness, and I had to do something about it. Because when we start committing offenses, somehow or another we can see that we're not happy in Krishna consciousness. Because if we follow practice of Krishna consciousness, then we should be happy. If we are not, means we're doing something wrong. And then I realized, like, everybody has their own different levels. Everybody has their own problems. So we cannot, like, expect whoever they are, expect them to always behave the way we want or the way we may think. So this is the second important point. Let me see. Yeah, this mentality, basically, Prahlad didn't say, I'm right and you're wrong and you're going to suffer for this. Usually, you know, when we see Kshatriyas on the battlefield, they challenge each other and they say, you're going to learn shortly how powerful I am and how insignificant and weak you are. But Prahlad Maharaj's mood was the Vaishnav mood of, like, acceptance and tolerance and no offenses. In this context, I'd like to also refer how the similar mood was also with Arjuna. Arjuna had that mood of compassion, whereas Duryodhana, he had this mood exactly like Hiranyakashipu, regret, revenge. He was trying to use his, that's the third point, the demons tried to use their demonic mentality is to use our material power to show superiority. We can call it superiority complex or dependence on material things. So it was similar also with Arjuna and Duryodhana's story. Duryodhana, we all know that he chose the army of Krishna. When he chose the army of Krishna, he actually went back and he told Shakuni, I was given this choice between choosing Krishna or choosing Krishna's army. And Shakuni said, what did you do? Don't you know? Actually, you don't know, you're messing with Krishna. Why didn't you choose Krishna? And you know, even Shakuni knew this. But Duryodhana couldn't see Krishna. He only wanted the material opulence. Whereas we can see that Arjuna, he was not in the mood of, like, bring it on, I'll see, I have Krishna with me, we're going to win. That was not at all his mentality. So as I was sharing, like, my personal experience, I know what is right, I know how Krishna consciousness is. It can be very dangerous. This point that material existence is temporary and miserable, it's ignorance to be attached. If we don't understand this principle ourselves nicely, and we try to preach this in a heavy way, oh, you're ignorant, you're materialistic, then it's another trap. It's another trap of, I know. Like Prabhupada, in one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita, I think beginning of second chapter, he says that, or maybe first chapter, he says how Arjuna is actually, it's a symptom of pure devotee that he's feeling compassion. He's feeling compassion for the other party. And in this story, Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu are father and son. In that story, Arjuna had to stand and fight against his family, his relatives, his teachers, Bhishma, Drona. And what was his mood? Tam tata kripaya vishtam ashrupurna kulekshanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudanaha. So Krishna's mood, Sanjaya is explaining to Dhritarashtra and saying, Arjuna his eyes are filled with tears, his heart is full of compassion. So this is the mood of a pure devotee or a devotee. A devotee is not thinking, oh, I'll take revenge, or I will insult the other person, I'll teach him the lesson. Rather, he's trying to understand what they're going to go through. So if we ever have that power to reform another person, teach a lesson to the other person, we can be more aware of what's our internal motive. Are we thinking like Hiranyakashipu and Duryodhana, or are we being more like Arjuna and Prahlad? Another instance of reformation, one of my senior god sisters, she was sharing with me how Kunti Devi, when she realized that these Kauravas are such nonsense and they're going to destroy Pandavas and they just want to kill them, she told the Pandavas to go away to Indraprastha and be independent from the Kauravas. And she basically wanted to, you know, reform or teach the right way to the Kauravas. And you know what she did, it seems, is that she did not go with the Kauravas. She actually stayed back with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, and it was a great sacrifice to know how they were actually behaving with her sons, but still to be there, to be helpful in their reformation. So this was another thing, like I was realizing or thinking that when we want our, maybe our children, maybe our spouse, maybe our parents, maybe friends to reform, when we think they're doing something wrong and we have some power, some authority to teach them something, the best way or the Krishna conscious way is to have compassion, to understand what they're going through. And practically how we can do that, in my experience, is to listen. Instead of arguing and preaching to them and calling them names, if we can just listen to the other person, even if they have a completely different opinion or even a completely wrong understanding of Krishna consciousness, if we can just be there. And most of all, what we can learn from Prahlad Maharaj, the devotee mentality, is regardless of how unfair, unjust, bad our opponent may be, like Hiranyakashipu, what can be worse than that? Even in that situation, the best thing that I've seen my Guru Maharaj doing, I've learned from some really amazing devotees, is they pray. Praying for the person that we are in conflict with, praying for the person that you want to reform, praying for the person that may be causing us pain. And we can learn, my Guru Maharaj, for example, he has a book full of names for people that he prays for every day. So he has this commitment or sadhana to pray for others. Actually he's been doing it since many years. So anybody he meets, like Prabhupada is here saying, we should give up the company of atheistic non-devotees. So what I've learned from my Guru Maharaj's behavior, attitude, is that he never has this mentality to like, oh, reject them, hate, look at them hatefully, or, you know, call them names. No, the mood is more like, let me pray for them. Let me actually not like take their association, but let me actually help them somehow or another. Because sometimes it can happen not just with non-devotees, which may be a little bit easier to say, these are not good for my Krishna consciousness. But even there, personally, I saw how when I have this mentality that I shouldn't associate with these people, they are bad, it's not helping me either. But rather to think in a more compassionate way, to not have that, these people, not in that way, but in a more, let me pray for these people so that they may advance in their Krishna consciousness. So like clearing the energy and having that positive energy instead of hating them. So that was the third point of prayer. We could talk hours about the importance of why we should pray for those people in our lives that we have issues with, conflicts with, like that. Let me just see if there's something else I missed. Yeah, this one last point I'd like to make is the most important point is bhakti. We are bhakti yogis. This is the process of bhakti. And in the case of Hiranyakashipu or Duryodhana, externally they did everything right. Duryodhana was not even doing that. Let's say Hiranyakashipu. Externally he did austerities and penances, and he was really like, he had everything in control, you can say. But he didn't have the right mood. He didn't have the proper attitude. It was bereft of bhakti. And in fact, when Duryodhana was, he was insulting Drona, who is on his side, by saying, "You see, son of Drupada is forming the army so intelligently, and he's your disciple, by the way." So Duryodhana had that insulting mentality. And he was also very proud. And he actually says in one of the Bhagavad Gita verses, first chapter, he's saying, Anye cha bahava shura madarte tyakta jivitaha nana shastra praharanaha sarve yuddha visharadaha. So Duryodhana is bluffing. He's saying, see, so many powerful heroes, they are ready to sacrifice their life for my sake. And they are also very well trained, and they have like super weapons. We can destroy these Pandavas like no time. So this is overconfidence of Duryodhana. Again, it's true. As a matter of fact, he did have a huge army. He did have Bhishma, Drona, all these amazing warriors, undefeatable warriors. But what he didn't have is the right mood. So I'd like to conclude by just summarizing. So the main theme was attachment and expectation causes frustration. And then the red represents the demon mentality and the green represents devotee mentality. Detachment and firm faith, it pleases the Lord. That was the main theme. And then we discussed the motive, why motivation is very important, because motivation is what drives us to act. So Hiranyakashipu's motivation was personal victory. I want to win. My son should lose. Ego, anger, to destroy the opponent, control, have full control, and revengeful. That was Hiranyakashipu's mentality, whereas Prahlad Maharaj's mentality was victory for the Lord's plan. I win, you win, the Lord should win. And he was focused on the Lord. He was dependent on the Lord. And he had his internal self stable. He was connected with the super soul. And he was peaceful, therefore. That was his motivation, is not, I want to get this, I want to get that. He was peaceful. He had satisfaction. And most of all, compassion. Like Jesus Christ, also Prahlad Maharaj was praying for Hiranyakashipu, wanted to kill him. And then all that results in our behavior. So what was the behavior of Hiranyakashipu? He wanted to punish, hurtful. He was hurting small boy, five-year-old boy. And he was even feeling like a victim. What a shame, you're born as my son. You know, like blaming him. And then he was selfish. And he was very proud. So these are the behaviors we need to watch out when we are in a conflicting relationship, when we are in conflicts. But rather, we should be more firm with what are we trying to accomplish? What is it that I want in this relationship, in this conflict? Being tolerant, being kind. One of the important qualities of devotees is whatever we may want to say, say it kindly like Prahlad Maharaj did. And he was compassionate and he was praying. So if you want to take something away from this class, if you want to remember that to pray for the person who may be causing us confusion, distress, pain. So thank you very much. Supposed to end, we'll take one question. Question, comment. Yes, Bhakta Rupa Prabhu.
Thank you very much. Is there some lesson here for the preachers? A preacher may also become attached to those whom he or she is preaching to, and may have expectations that person who's becoming a devotee will, you know, and they have various expectations, like, oh yeah, he should be initiated by my guru, or he should join my camp or be my follower, not just whether he should be a devotee. That's not the main, that's okay, yes, make him a devotee, but then he should, then some personal, and one may become attached and frustrated, and all these things may come. You have any comment on that?
Thank you so much. I'm sure Bhakta Rupa Prabhu himself will be able to answer this question in a perfect way, but I'll try to share my understanding. Actually, this question of how should we preach has been on my mind since many months, because I've been writing some things about basics of Krishna consciousness and things. So I would say there's two divisions, or two aspects to answer this question. One is internal and one is external. So let's start with external. So yes, this mentality to preach with motivation, it's not, you know, causeless preaching, or let this person get Krishna consciousness, but it's preaching in the mode of passion, having some ulterior motive to want maybe to increase their army or to even maybe sometimes it's even monetary. I mean, I've seen different parts of the world how there's huge fight between two leaders. There is one Bhakta, who is a working congregation member, and then there are two people pulling him on both sides. And the real motivation is they want donation for their temples. And it's a, I guess it's a lot of things that you deal with your service, conflict of interest, and a lot of these issues. So for the external thing, what I have to say is, we have to always keep in mind that the mission of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada is literally in each of our hands. So how we behave will affect the faith of these people. I remember this cartoon that I just showed in Bali with one of the presentations. A ship just sank, and then there are two captains standing on a little island under a palm tree, and both of them pointing fingers at each other, and there is this how do you call the man, the poor man who was just safe, survivor, the survivor who is panting for breath and asking help to be lifted up on the island. So we can say that's the person who we are trying to preach to. And then when things go wrong, or when we want some escapism, we blame each other. It's not because of me, it's because of that person. So, I mean, this doesn't really spread Krishna consciousness movement, or let me say, specifically ISKCON, it gets hurt. It's people go to Gaudiya Mats, people go to other sampradayas because ISKCON is full of politics. Or, you know what I mean? Like, some people who are innocent, they're looking for spiritual life. If we have these motives, then it can destroy their faith. And then on the internal side, I was thinking of this Bhaktivinoda Thakur is speaking about how conflicts, because usually it's conflict that leads to people saying, I don't want you to go to that project, I want you in my project. It's because we don't have fulfilling relationships. So I would say the internal key is to not have conflicts with our own family, so that when we preach to others, we look united. I mean, at least look united. Because this thing struck me so much. In the pastime of the forest fire, Krishna, it's the only time when Krishna actually takes it all, whereas so many demons, he just kills them, beats them up, kills them, throws them off, you know, this is the story. But with the forest fire, he actually takes it all inside him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how this is the anartha of conflict between devotees. So when there is a conflict, Krishna actually takes it in himself. It's actually very serious. It's very heavy thing. So if we realize that if we get separated, I actually sometimes get concerned when I read Pernal, whatever we call it, to even think we are the ones, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in our hands and everybody else is nonsense. To preach in that mentality is also very detrimental for the growth of the movement. So I guess everything begins with that belief, what we believe in. If we are really like, I want, because we can even be selfish in this question that you asked, what is most beneficial for me? If I'm going to preach for donation or have to have this person in my project, is that the most beneficial for my overall growth? So we, I mean, I often tell that to myself when I'm in a situation, maybe somebody's envious or somebody's trying to cause harm. So before reacting, I often think, what's the most safe and beneficial way for me to react? Because I ultimately want my good. And so the best way is to pray for the other person and to help this person to grow in a as much as possible, not self-motivated way, so that we also can grow. But like I said, I'm sure you have better answers, but these are the three points that came to my mind. Thank you. Okay, so we end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Srila Prabhupada is kaun ki? Ananta Koti Vaishnava.